You get on.
You get it.
Remember when we had the pounding for Anthony? I said, hey, I wasn't going to have to buy any toilet tissue or paper towels. I was just going to buy his house. Well, if I run out of rice or any toiletries, I'm going to get this stuff before we put it in the toilet. Thank you all for that. Now, we have five hearts up here already. We've got Mike assured me that today we would have at least $500 for missions. So I've got room for like 34 more hearts. Each one of these hearts represents $100. Thank you all for wearing blue. If you look at blue in the dictionary, you see Anthony's picture there this morning. Somebody leave this pot in the kitchen when we had our kickoff for missions and our Super Bowl party. I have a pot just like this that's 58 years old.
Nobody
wants this. And I couldn't make a whole lot of space. Mine was up here, so somebody can come claim this pot. This is the advertisement for wherever pot.
Nobody claims it, it's mine.
Okay, all right. And if you get the missions this morning, we're going to let you go over to the fellowship hall and have some special donors provided by Priscilla Seeger and our company, Sissy. Come over and invite us. Thank you all.
Please follow me in the call to worship. Blessed are those who trust in God, whose trust is the Lord.
They are like trees planted by water, springing up roots by the stream.
They have no fear of summer's heat, nor do they wither in the sun. Come to the waters of life, all you who trust in the Lord. We have come to worship and to send forth our roots into streams of God's living water. Now please stand and sing hymn 115, Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain.
Thank you.
Join me in the prayer of confession. Lord, heal our foolish ways. We long to forsake the advice of the wicked and the slow seduction of sinful paths. But our speech and actions often betray us. We yearn to be like trees planted beside living waters, bearing the fruit of righteousness in due season. But the seed of sorrows calls to us. Like shrubs in the desert. This is your dear hope planned for us. Forgive us. Turn us against the reconciliation you so really offer. Amend the brokenness in our lives and in our world. Amen.
Hear the good news. You are blessed if you believe the good news Christ preaches. We do not find Jesus Christ to be a stumbling block and believe the good news he preaches. Let us believe the good news.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
This morning, do we have any additions to our prayer list? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to give an update on it's our son-in-law's father, John Fanning, who's on the prayer list. He had triple bypass surgery on Friday, and it went very well. He's in ICU for a couple days, and then regular, and hopefully rehab. But everything went very well.
Thank you, Joan. Anybody else? Any good news other than the birthday girl over here?
And John DeYoung's
birthday. Did you say 32?
32.
Well, happy birthday to both of you, and I'm not singing it either like that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well,
we have our granddaughter and our
great-grandson about this morning. Well, wonderful. Y'all get a gold star today for a full pew. Good to have you here. And welcome to all those here in the church this morning. Anybody else? If not, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, as we gather together today, we are thankful, O Lord, for those who are here and those who are having birthdays and those who have family members. We ask your guidance and leadership in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that we will trust in you always. Also on our prayers, we lift up those on our prayer list, my sister Virginia, Joy and Wendy, and John and Dwayne and Kathy and Sandy, the Harper family. We pray, O Lord, for all things, we pray for our presbytery, our synod, and our general assembly. May they seek your guidance in all things that they do. Through the name of Christ, we pray, who taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Steeples are falling.
Built on a rock in every land. Let's go.
As the Lord guides and leads you and help support the kingdom work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we give thanks for the privilege of giving to you today. It is not a burden but a privilege because of the many blessings that we will reap from it. But most of all is our closer relationship to you. We give thanks that we can give to your work. All this we pray through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we're in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious. It does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. America, American money, I should say, has inscribed it on its coinage. Politicians quote it. Religious leaders preach it, even license plates come with it if desired. But can we truly say or even believe it, in God we trust? Life isn't easy for any of us. However, if we look over our shoulders, we will notice that the other person usually doesn't have it any better than we do. Do you ever envy people? Well, perhaps if you walked in their shoes for a day, you would say, well, thank God I have my own shoes to walk in. You don't know what's going on with the other person. You know, it's so easy to sit back and judge somebody, but you don't know what that person's been through. You know, I always say this, that before you arrive to church on Sundays, I don't know what you've been going through. You may have had a good morning. You may have not had a good morning. So if you come some mornings, Sunday mornings, and, you know, you're maybe not as cordial as you normally are, maybe the coffee pot brewed over. Maybe you've had a problem with your automobile. It's a lot of different things. Or maybe you received some good news. Who knows what it could be? But a lot of times, we sort of premeditate our judgment and assume that whatever it is, that it's our fault, but they're the ones that's blaming us. It may not have anything to do with that. So remember, somebody else may be worse off than we are. But you know, will a new car, will a facelift, or a stylish wardrobe of clothes bring us true contentment? Well, some people would say, yes, it would. But at the same time, you know, cars rust out. Gravity will sooner or later take care of those facelifts, nips and tucks. And our weight fluctuations may determine whether or not we will be able to wear certain clothes next year. And by the way, speaking of clothes, this jacket I'm wearing, I can button it. A year ago, I couldn't. I'm so pleased. So anyway, that was an ad lib to the sermon, but I wanted y'all to know that. But it's amazing how you can look in your closet and say, well, I haven't worn that in a long time. But then you try it on and you realize, it needs to be taken out a little bit. But, you know, that's the way it goes a lot of times. That's the way it goes. Jeremiah reminded his readers of their role in relation to God. A primary emphasis in worshiping God, and this is interesting, is to trust God. We praise God by loving, doing, and obeying God. Worship is the entrance in which we praise God and to praise God, and is a reflection of our connection to God. We may indirectly worship God in all that we do, whether we know we're doing it or aware of it or not. Another way to praise and give trust to God is by reaching out in love and acceptance toward other people. You know, this may be one of the most difficult things to do because you've heard me say this, I know. Sometimes it's just hard to love certain people, isn't it? It takes an extra effort. You almost get a hernia trying to do it. And so you have to remember that if God loves you, then guess what? You may try to make an effort to love that person that we don't, you don't really particularly care for. They may not even be appealing, but you know what? If God loves you and God loves them, maybe we should make an effort to do that. But you know, this trust principle applies to both the preacher and the congregation. I knew a preacher one time told me, he said, this has been 20 years ago. He says, now, he was in his 70s at the time. And he's gone on to heaven now. But he told me, he said, you've got to love everybody in your congregation, warts and all. And I always remember that. None of us are perfect, are we? None of us walk on water, unless some of you do, and I don't know it. It is more than toleration. Because toleration will be temporary. I've heard people say, oh, I'm so tolerant of this and tolerant of that. But guess what? There's going to be one day somebody's going to, you're not going to do it, and that tolerance gets thrown out the window. But trust is a permanent condition. Just think about that. Trust is a permanent condition because the Bible says we know that we have passed from death to life because we love and guess what? Trust one another. All this rigmarole about praising glory to God is meant to make us spiritually more mature through trusting God. The Bible also says, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. I was a witness to that other night during the session meeting. I was amazed at the different creative talents that's on the session. I said, I'm glad it's not left up to me because we'd be limited. But each of those individuals have some unique talent, gift that they contribute to the church. You would be amazed. And so as I see around here, each of you, of course, we know are uniquely created in God's image. But you also have a unique gift that you can give to others that somebody else may not have. That they may never, that they wish they had. There are a lot of things I wish I had, but I can't, I don't have that mental capability to do it. But somebody else may. And they should be applauded for doing that or having that gift. We bring glory and praise to God by demonstrating trust in God through our love, through our presence, and action. A lot of people make big talk, but they rarely ever put feet on that big talk. Have you ever noticed that? They like to be show horses. You know, I've always said there's two kinds of horses, show horses and work horses. And those show horses are the ones that like the glimmer, glitz and glamour and everything, get all the credit. But it's the work horses that do the things behind the scenes. Amazing, for a long time when I started in the ministry, as far as in the church goes, I realized it's those people that do not stand up here who make the church go. They all keep the machinery well oiled. It's those who are in the background, those who contribute not just their money, but their time and their effort, whatever it may be, that those are the ones that's the most important people in the church. So as we look at this in this trust factor, God wants us to live out our faith, literally, this faith we hold so dearly, rather than hoarding it. Sometimes the best kept secret is our own faith. Did you ever think about that? I'm not saying get a microphone or a megaphone or go up and down the street. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we don't know how to demonstrate our faith. And it doesn't mean that, you know what St. Francis of Assisi said, you know, preach all the time, occasionally use words. You don't have to speak a lot of times. It's through your actions which really count and which really matter. It's an incredible privilege to express that trust, which in reality is faith. In 2 Corinthians, in the New Living Translation, says, as God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. What does that mean? That thanksgiving, and it's not Thanksgiving, by the way, but be thankful for everything in your life. Even sometimes when things are going bad, it says, give thanks for everything. In Philippians, it does. Now, does that mean, you know, sometimes you get up in the morning, you're not feeling too well. But that doesn't mean you can't thank God for the day. Sometimes we use our own daily self, or whatever you want, as the barometer. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't continue to remind ourselves that God is there with us. Even those days we don't feel very well. But the question is, how do we trust God? The trust factor. And we know today to trust somebody, it may or may not be a good thing. It may be a very risky thing. Prayer is the key through communicating with God, and from there, trust will be discovered in our relationship to God. If you don't trust God, then you're not going to be able to trust other people. And you say, well, I trust God. But do you really trust God? It takes effort. And I'm not just spouting this off. I have to work at it too. It is a continual conversation with God, though not necessarily, as I said earlier, verbally. Learning God's thoughts and desires and praying for their fulfillment. That's what we seek in God in our prayer time. Communication with God, of course, is a two-way street. In prayer, we share with God what is on our minds and of our concerns. And it's interesting, some people, have you ever been around somebody? I've got a friend of mine. All he does is talk like that. He never gives you a chance to respond. He never listens to anybody else. Sometimes, think about your own prayer life when you're praying. Do you ever listen to God? Just sort of stop what you're doing and just allow God the time to communicate back to you? I'm sure God would appreciate it. We put a halt on our wagging tongue long enough to allow God to speak to us. Now, one way to do it is reading the Bible. God will reveal to us all the riches in heaven and what all the things that we need to be done. And you know, it doesn't have to mean you have to read 18 chapters a day. There may be one particular Bible verse that will stand out. It may be some obscure passage in the Bible that you never read before or maybe overlooked. But God will communicate back with you if you would take the time to read the Bible, and we can discover God's guidance for our lives. God is glorified when complete trust is realized on our part. Now, I said God's guidance. Did you know I didn't say God's plan? You know, I have seen pictures. Several years ago, I was looking in a newspaper, and there was a church advertisement, and the ministers had a caption, "Come to my church, and I can tell you God's plan for your life." Well, I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't tell you what God's plan is for my life. And the reason why, it's a step by step. If I had a crystal ball, that would be wonderful. But I don't have a crystal ball. By faith and trust, I must rely upon God every step of the way. It's difficult at times because wouldn't it be nice to see the panoramic view and see what's going to happen in the next year? Well, sometimes it's probably better we don't know. But that's where it counts, is allowing us to trust God and allow God to work in our lives. I don't think anybody has that skill of foretelling the future, if you want to be serious about it, but because God wants us to be in constant communication. And that means so much. That really means so much. Communication is a two-way street. Don't ever forget it. Trusting God is the most basic form of faith. In Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. When we fail to trust God, our faith is not in a healthy state. How is your faith doing? And said, well, it could do better. I've made it. I've got the wings already. I don't believe that. I don't have my wings either. But the thing is, we have to keep that faith nurtured. If we don't, your faith becomes stale and stagnant. That's an important thing. Keep your faith up to date. Don't allow it to go rusty on you. It is through that failure to trust we are actually implying that God cannot be trusted nor worthy of trust. And so we have to remember that. It happened at a laboratory in New Jersey a number of years ago, more than a number of years ago. It was a scientific laboratory. One particular invention had over 1,001 failures. They had worked on it and worked on it and worked on it and almost gave up on it. But Eureka, achievement was accomplished by the use of a filament in a little glass bubble. You know what I'm talking about. You know whose laboratory it was? It was Mr. Thomas Alva Edison in Menlo Park, New Jersey, who actually invented and created the electric light bulb. One of his assistants was assigned the task of to carry that electrical miracle upstairs at the laboratory for the world to witness. The press had been contacted, the newspapers, and they were all there waiting to see this marvelous thing, and a lot of them were laughing about it because they could believe you couldn't get light from electricity. But yet, Thomas Edison asked his teenager to carry this light bulb upstairs. And while the boy was climbing the stairs, guess what? He stumbled, fell, and the bulb was shattered into atoms. Can you imagine that? One of the greatest inventions of all time, lying in the floor in 1,000 pieces. Everyone grasped, and the young man started crying. You know what Mr. Edison did? He told him, go find a broom and sweep up the debris and mess. A week or so later, another light bulb was ready. It was finished for exhibition. Mr. Edison suddenly yelled across the laboratory and called for that young boy. And he said, ask him if he would carry the light bulb upstairs to the display pavilion. Well, you can imagine how the staff looking around said, are you trusting that boy again? Mr. Edison didn't bat an eye. He said, here you go. And the boy carried it upstairs to the exhibit room. But you know, Edison demonstrated the gift of forgiveness. And this action, guess what, conveyed trust. Conveyed trust and confidence to his young assistant. Edison understood, and the rest of us should realize that we all make mistakes, and some are more terrible than others. Yes, Edison could have chewed him out. Edison could have belittled him, torn him to shreds. Edison didn't do that, because Edison knew he had limitations too. Restoration, reconciliation, and trust kept a young man from facing failure. To be sure, no one at the Edison Laboratory nor the young man ever forgot the generous act of grace is acted upon by the Wizard of Menlo Park, Mr. Thomas Alva Edison. Keep that in mind when perhaps someone you know has made a mistake, or maybe you get a haircut and they cut too much off. Or maybe the lawn service didn't do what you thought they should do. Or perhaps that person did cut you off in the traffic. Remember, a lot of times we have to remember that we make mistakes too. And some, as I said, are worse than others that we see around us. As with Edison, Edison gave that moment of understanding and trust to a young man. And we know he didn't deserve it. But Edison knew that he makes mistakes too. And as we all know, it's easy to praise God during the good times that come our way. I mean, we're just singing and going on. But you know, when trials and adversity and hardship are encountered, it can challenge our faith. We all have those moments. You know, we have those mountaintop experiences. But then most of the time, we're down in the valley pretty much, aren't we? And the fog and the clouds sort of look, we look up and we don't see it. But those mountaintop experiences are great. They should help us through the rough moments in life. But it can challenge our faith. How should we react when the supper burns, the car breaks down, we get sick, perhaps lose a job, get terminated, face financial hardship, or even break a light bulb? How do we handle it? Well, that's where the trust in God comes in there. Remember, God is there for us 24/7. We don't have to use our cell phones to contact God and get a busy signal. We don't have to have a voicemail from God. God is there to listen to us. And God is more than generous, even when probably we don't deserve God's generosity. But just remember this, God will never abandon us. And you know, in the scriptures, this is what can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God. We have that assurance. In fact, the Bible talked about it long before John Calvin did. We have to remember that. It's through trust. And it's through trust. Even though you may face some obstacles right now, today, you may come to church. You know, the best place to leave burdens is at church. But you just think about that. What things have you encountered this past week and you thought, oh, am I going to get through them? And guess what? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But why is it that every time we get over a crisis and we say, phew, I'm glad that's over, if another one comes back, we almost have selected amnesia. Have you ever noticed that? Because we forget. God will help us through this too, regardless of what it could be. Circumstances may be different, but God will still help us out because God won't abandon us. God, that is because God is our hope. And God is our comfort. And through that trust, we can rely upon God all the time. In everything, give thanks, because it is in God we trust. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, sometimes our faith gets shuffled around. We sort of allow it to take a vacation. Sometimes we know that the trust factor in there gets lost too. Help us to renew our faith, but more than that, help us to renew our trust in you. And that way, oh Lord, that when we do face difficulties, we know that you will be with us always. Through Christ we pray, amen. Now let us join together and affirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us stand for our closing hymn, hymn 372, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
And I do hope you have a great week ahead. You've made my day just seeing your smiles here this morning. And I hope you have a wonderful week and come back next Sunday full of trust and faith in God. Let us bow our heads. Now may the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of us. Help us, O God, in all things that we do, because we know that our trust is in you only. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.